looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Spartan fans, you should feel pretty good right now. Michigan State with the big win over Purdue on Saturday. And can we be all the way 100? I mean, who really thought Michigan State was going to beat Purdue? You know, I was giving Vegas crap all week last week due to the fact that the Boilermakers were not favored in this matchup. Now, I will say this. The line did shift when it was announced that Rocky Lombardi would be the starting quarterback for Michigan State. But all week, Michigan State favored in that matchup by two. You know, started at one, then went to two. How did Michigan State pull off that win? And everybody is a Rocky Lombardi fan today. I know Rocky Lombardi with one heck of a game. You know, he got the job done against that really bad Purdue defense. But nonetheless, I mean, to come in a game like this where Purdue, you know, blows out Ohio State the week prior to at home, you know, Ohio State, one of the best teams in the nation, and a mollywhopping at the hands of the Boilermakers inflicted on the Buckeyes, and Michigan State coming off the loss to Michigan, that offense kind of looked dead in the water. How in the world would a backup quarterback beat the Boilermakers? And Michigan State somehow, some way, finds a way in this game. So we'll discuss Rocky Lombardi's first start. We'll also kick around the discussion, and this is one of the big sexy debates from over the weekend. You know, if Rocky Lombardi would have played early in that Michigan game at Spartan Stadium, would Michigan State have won? I'll answer that question, all right? You also get to hear from Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team, as well as, of course, Rocky Lombardi himself, Daryl Stewart Jr., wide receiver for Michigan State, Mike Tressel, Michigan State defensive coordinator, and Michigan State offensive coordinator Dave Warner. And you'll hear what they had to say about Rocky Lombardi's outing on Saturday. Also, the Detroit Lions, they just did not get the job done at all yesterday. At home, Ford Field, Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks just made it look easy peasy against that Detroit Lions secondary. And again, that's the thing I've said. You know, everybody's buying the Lions, was buying the Lions after that win against the Dolphins, Miami. They seem to be trending upward. And I temper my expectations because at the end of the day, this is the Detroit Lions. And that secondary, I've just never been big on it. So the Seahawks get that win. We'll break that one down and we'll preview now the month that will be when it comes to November for the Detroit Lions. It is not an easy schedule whatsoever. And then on the back end of the show, we will have weekend winners for you. We'll have a big outlook when it comes to college football. Also, I want to make some thoughts on the Detroit Pistons and how they have begun the season. First loss of the year came at the hands of the Boston Celtics over the weekend. They have a chance for some revenge come Tuesday on the road. So I'll talk about the Detroit Pistons as one of my weekend winners. And we'll do all of that. We'll unpack all of that while, of course, allowing you all to be a part of the hour. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can go to our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. Comment below that video. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. But you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Oh, boy. I tell you what, trying to read this Michigan State football team is like trying to read Chinese. You know, that's the line I used for my stand-up after covering that Michigan State football win over Purdue. This team is just so unpredictable. And, you know, that game against Purdue really showed that. Purdue routing the number two ranked team at the time, Ohio State, 49-20 the week prior to several key injuries to players for Michigan State. Many Spartan fans were not feeling too confident going into that game against the Purdue Boilermakers. Mark D'Antonio, though, thrives whenever the odds are stacked against him and his team. The redshirt freshman, Rocky Lombardi. That's a name. That's a quarterback name, folks. Rocky Lombardi. He got the nod, had a great performance. He was 26 of 46, 318 yards, two touchdowns, as Michigan State defeated Purdue 23-13. Wide receivers Jalen Naylor, Darryl Stewart Jr., both had touchdowns in the win. We'll have more on that win for Michigan State football in just a moment. And on Saturday afternoon, the Michigan State men's basketball team faced Gonzaga in a closed scrimmage at the Target Center out in Minneapolis. It wasn't set up as a standard game, which makes it a bit tougher to draw many conclusions, but it at least gives a chance to see some early stats for two teams ranked in the top 10 in this year's college basketball preseason polls. Gonzaga at number 3, Michigan State sitting at 10. The two 20-minute halves were split up by two 5-minute sessions that featured mostly freshmen and reserves. The first 20-minute half was won by Gonzaga. Final score of 58-46. And after the first 5-minute session, the Zags won the second 20-minute half 52-46. It was followed by one more 5-minute session. Nick Ward had 22 points, 8 of 11 shooting while grabbing 12 boards for the Spartans, while Cassius Winston had 16 points, 8 assists, but turned it over 6 times. Xavier Tillman, the X-Man, he scored 16, and Joshua Langford had 11 more on that closed scrimmage in just a moment. But again, you talk about a closed scrimmage. Tom Izzo wasn't even allowed to talk about it until it was said and done. And when it comes to that closed scrimmage, it's really hard, again, to draw some hard conclusions because you're basically just Stevie Wonder. You didn't see the game at all, but you just look at that stats, you're just trying to come through these hardcore assumptions about the team. We'll do that in just a moment later on, all right? All right, the Big Ten Conference announced the 2018 Big Ten Men's Soccer Tournament bracket yesterday, with Indiana earning the number one seed after clinching the outright Big Ten Championship on Wednesday. The Big Ten Tournament's first round game will be played on Saturday, with the quarterfinal games coming on November 4th. The number two seed goes to Wisconsin with an 9-5-2 record. They will face number 7 ranked Rutgers on November 4th. Michigan with a 10-4-2 record, and Michigan State with a 10-3-4 record. Tied in the league standings with 14 points, but Michigan earned the 3 seed due to a better goal differential during conference play. The Wolverines will host number 6 Penn State at 1 p.m. on November 4th. Rounding out the bracket, number 4 Michigan State will welcome number 5 Maryland for their quarterfinal matchup at 1 p.m. on November 4th in East Lansing, right here at DeMartin Stadium. The Spartans earned a 2-0 victory at Maryland back on October 5th. And how about the Michigan State hockey team, huh? MSU hockey completed a weekend sweep of the number 8 team in the nation, Cornell. A 4-3 victory on Saturday night at Lanai Rink in Ithaca, New York. The Spartans scored 3 goals in a 5-minute-and-45-second span in the second period to take the lead, while Taro Hirose's goal with 48 seconds left in the third proved to be the game winner. Well, I should say 48 seconds into the third. Now, both Hirose and Mitchell Lewandowski finished with a goal and 2 assists. John Letheman made a season-high 36 saves in goal. But MSU hockey, a weekend sweep of number 8 Cornell. Danton Cole, go on with your bad self, brother. That's pretty hot right there. That's a big story. All right, sophomore Maggie Farrell and redshirt senior Aaron McDonald both turned in personal records in the 6,000-meter runs, pacing Michigan State women's cross country to a second-place finish at the Big Ten Conference Championships Sunday at Mahoney Golf Course. Running with all Americans in the lead pack the entire race, Farrell, the 2017 Freshman of the Year, crossed the line in 2013.7 to come fourth overall. McDonald wasn't far behind, finishing with a time of 2016.1 to take seventh in the women's race. Redshirt junior Geraldine Poe, who recently returned from an injury, was the third Spartan across the line, posting a season best 20:38.3 to finish 17th. Great stuff there. All right, the Detroit Lions, a pitiful performance from the Honolulu Blues defense in the second quarter, paired with a couple of mental errors on special teams, was all Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson needed to propel their offense to a 28-14 victory for the Seattle Seahawks over the Detroit Lions at Ford Field yesterday afternoon. Matthew Stafford had a so-so day, going 27-40 for 310 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Kerryon Johnson only had four carries. That's interesting, right? Kerryon Johnson, who had been ripping it up for the past like 3 weeks, only four carries for 22 yards. Marvin Jones recorded both of the Lions' touchdowns, both on throws from, of course, Matty Staff. He had 117 yards on the day. More on the Detroit Lions later on this hour as well. The Winged Wheel, the Detroit Red Wings, finally got the second win of the season. First home win of the year, earning a 4-2 win over the Dallas Stars. Justin Abdelkader, Tyler Bertuzzi, Jonathan Erickson, and Anthony Mantha all notched goals on the win over Dallas. Wings backup goaltender Jonathan Bernier made 28 saves, but he was more steady than spectacular. That was a product of solid defensive work. They didn't give away the puck and force their goalie to deal with odd man rushes. The new record for the Wings, 2-7-2. And how about this? Boston, turn up. Total domination is complete. The Boston Red Sox, Major League Baseball's best team from start to finish in 2018. They are your World Series champs. With the use of the long ball, the Red Sox defeated the L.A. Dodgers 5-1 on Sunday at Dodger Stadium, winning the 114th edition of the Fall Classic 4-1. Steve Pierce hit two home runs for Boston, joining Babe Ruth and Ted Kluziski as the only players 35 or older to have a multi-homer World Series game. The first was a two-run shot in the top of the first inning. He later had a solo home run in the eighth. Pierce, a journeyman who has played for every team in the American League East Division, had three home runs, eight RBIs in 5 games. He was named World Series MVP. And this is, I must say this is pretty shocking news. When I heard this morning, the Cleveland Browns have fired head coach Hugh Jackson. The Browns, 2-5-1 this season, doubling the win total from Jackson's first two seasons with the team. Cleveland was 1-15 in his first season, 0-16 last year. The Browns hired John Dorsey as GM late last season. Dorsey kept Jackson as a coach despite the team's winless year. The Browns lost to the Steelers 33-18 on Sunday after playing to a tie with Pittsburgh in the series opener, season opener, I should say. The past five Browns head coaches, Romeo Crennel, Eric Mangini, Pat Shurmur, Rod Chudzinski, and Mike Patini, were all fired after the second Steelers game of that season. How about that? So don't lose that second game to the Steelers if you are a head coach out in Cleveland. Jackson had one season of head coaching experience before coming to Cleveland, guiding the Oakland Raiders to an 8-8 record in 2011. Since 2016, the Browns are last in the NFL in win percentage, offensive efficiency, points per game, and total quarterback rating. Jackson's career 205 win percentage is second worst in NFL history among all coaches with at least 40 games. But that wasn't the only firing in professional sports that happened in Cleveland over the weekend. Tyronn Lue, head coach of the NBA's Cleveland Cavaliers, he also got the boot over the weekend. So the Cavs and the Browns have said basically, enough, enough, you're done, you're kaput. I didn't totally agree with the firing of Tyronn Lue, and I'll explain why later on this hour. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. I want to hear your thoughts. Michigan State topping Purdue. An improbable victory. No one saw that coming. Boilermakers streaking. They had just beaten, and not just beaten, just handed it to Ohio State. Nobody thought Michigan State was going to win that game. Your thoughts on it? 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and check out the live stream there. And you can join us on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Job. You guys should have heard the Rocky chant in the locker room before I came over here. The whole team of Rocky, Rocky, Rocky. It was awesome.
He prepared as if he was going to play. He did it again this week, and he prepared nonstop all week long. I mean, really, really good.
Rocky, he's a hard, he studies a lot. And one thing, Rocky stays in the weight room, so he's one of those guys that he just know that the more work you put in, the more you will get out on the ball.
You ever golf with a guy, I mean, he'll drive it to the green. But he's an amazing athlete, and he produced today, and it was exciting to watch him.
So I was told last night I was going to start. I kind of thought I was before that, but last night's when I officially knew, you know, when Coach D told me that I was going to. Same mindset I've had all the time, you know, just go out there and play your game, you know, get your pre-reads done, you know where you're going with the football, and I thought I did a good job of that today.
Rocky, Rocky.
Doesn't this joint just make you just want to go work out right now? Shout out to Rocky Lombardi, one of the coolest names in all of sports, right? Fitting that we will play Gonna Fly Now from the famous, of course, Rocky movie soundtrack. I mean, that's a song and that's a movie that inspired so many, so many. Shout out to Philly. Sylvester Stallone and his unreal storytelling ability to tell the story of Rocky. That movie really put Sly on the map. And, you know, we heard that song a lot, multiple times. For those that attended that Michigan State and Purdue game inside of Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon. You heard that song a lot because Rocky Lombardi got the job done. You know, facing a Purdue Boilermaker team that had just come off a huge victory over one of the best college football teams in the nation, in Ohio State. And it wasn't even close in that game. And Michigan State coming off the loss and the whole drama with the University of Michigan the week prior to, you know, would Michigan State be able to pick itself up off the mat? And when you look at D'Antonio's track record of success after he has lost, which, again, which isn't often, you know, only four times in his career, but after he's lost to Michigan, he usually rebounds quite quickly that very next game. And he certainly did that. His team certainly did that on Saturday. A 23-13 victory for the Spartans, now giving them a 5-3 overall record, 3-2 record in the Big Ten East Conference. When it comes to Rocky, Rocky was 26 of 46 for 318 yards, and he threw two touchdowns, had no turnovers. He didn't throw any picks in this game. That's how you get the job done. But before I have an interesting discussion about where Michigan State will and should go moving forward when it comes to the quarterback position, I want to talk about that Michigan State defense, because what they were able to do in this game and what they've been able to do in multiple games this year allowed them to pull out this win. And also, I want to let you guys know, we're having some, my old iPhone 6, man, that's what I've been using to stream our current sports live stream on Facebook.com/WKAR News. It's having some storage issues right now. So if the live stream does go down, again, multiple ways in which you can listen to it, just simply go to WKAR.org and listen to the show that way. You can also tune in on your radio, WKAR AM 870 or 105.1 FM. So just want to let you guys know that. Been having some storage problems with the iPhone, and I need to upgrade that, all right? All right, now back to the Michigan State defense, because for me, that was the X factor in this game for me. That was the big key. Other than Rocky Lombardi manning that offense, and you look at that Michigan State offense, they had a jolt of energy that we just haven't seen in a while. You know, Rocky provided a much-needed jolt. You know, they weren't deep plays down the field, and to be frank with you, I mean, you know, Rocky Lombardi going 26 of 46. A few of those were drops, and, you know, he missed Justin Lane twice. What could have been two touchdowns there, so this game, you know, could have been really out of reach if he would have connected to Justin Lane. But, you know, what Rocky really made his home on Saturday with just real short dump offs. You know, 5-yard throw to the right sideline, 6-yard throw to the left sideline. All right, I don't see anything down the field. Let me use my legs and run. You know, and Rocky Lombardi is a former wrestler as well, and that's why he's so aggressive on those runs. I don't think Rocky knows what the word slide means. He's a tough, gritty quarterback. But the defense, though, that was the key here. That Michigan State defense forced David Blough to throw three interceptions, including that final interception right into the paws of Matt Morrissey, that put the nail in the coffin for the Purdue Boilermakers. But David Blough throws three picks. The Michigan State defense holds the Purdue rushing attack to just 62 yards. That's it. Huge. When it comes to the Michigan State secondary, I mean, we saw players like Justin Lane, who had four pass deflections in that game. We saw players like Andrew Dowell, who had three pass deflections in that game. Also, you know, you look at a guy like Trey Person, who I really got on Trey. Now, again, Trey being a young player, the young player that he is, I mean, he's only a sophomore. He's a sophomore safety, and he got beat not once but twice against Michigan when they came to Spartan Stadium. You know, Donovan Peoples-Jones on that one touchdown just basically put on the Jets, and Trey Person just could not keep up. That was pay dirt to the house. Then, of course, in the red zone, that slant, you know, Trey was the defender on that play as well. That led to another Shea Patterson touchdown throw. But Trey rebounds very nicely. You know, he had one pass deflection, and he also was tied atop the defensive roster when it comes to total tackles in this game. 8 tackles for Trey Person. So I also want to show him some love. And how about Tyreek Thompson, who had just one crazy hit on a Purdue offensive player that actually, I thought it was a catch, then it was a fumble, and Tyreek was credited with the fumble recovery, but they called it an interception. That was one of the 3 interceptions that David Blough threw, and Tyreek ends up getting the ball as the ball just kind of laid on the offensive player's, like, thigh. But Tyreek Thompson, a big hit there. I mean, you know, Joe Bocci, you know, he was tied with Person when it comes to total tackles in that game. 8 tackles for him. Raekwon Williams, 6 tackles for him. Also had, you know, a tackle for loss. You know, just fantastic overall. David Dow, 6 tackles for him. That Michigan State defense has constantly throughout this season, when the offense may not be clicking and just seems stagnant, 3 and outs left and right, that Michigan State defense has at least given the Spartans a shot in much of this year. And it's been impressive. You have to give them credit. You know, I haven't even mentioned Kari Willis. You know, Kari has been great all year. All year. And you see why he was voted a leader, a captain of this Michigan State football team. So, you know, and also, this may be the biggest point when it comes to that Michigan State defense. I mean, Rondell Moore, who is just, I mean, that's an athlete. That's an athlete, folks. You will be seeing him on Sundays very, very soon. But Rondell Moore, number 4, freshman wide receiver, who has been great all year. You know, you look at that Ohio State game. I mean, Rondell Moore had 12 catches for 170 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he was amazing. He was amazing and has been amazing, you know, pretty much all year for Purdue. And the Michigan State defense was able to contain him. I won't say they completely shut down Rondell Moore, because, you know, he had some plays here and there that you were like, okay, that was really nice. That was a good move. And it's really hard to get Rondell Moore because he's so small, too, but he's shifty. He's 5'9", 175, but he is shifty, and he's tough to get down. I won't say they completely shut him down, but they contained him. 11 catches, 74 yards. No, this is the key. No touchdowns. Rondell Moore did not sniff the end zone. Big ups to that Michigan State defense. And also, the you know, special teams as well. You know, Mike Panishuk, the blocked field goal that you know, would have tacked on 3 and I think would have shifted some momentum in this game in favor of Purdue. That blocked field goal was huge. Totally demoralized whatever hope at the time the Purdue Boilermakers had. Shout out to Coach D. And he had a very, very candid moment during his post-game press conference. Because I think sometimes Coach D can be a bit robotic. I mean, he doesn't like, you know, Coach D doesn't like to put everything out there during pressers. He's playful, but you're not going to hear anything that's really like breaking news or really emotional during his post-game press conferences. But he had a moment when he was up there at the podium where he said that, I think some people took notice. I think the nation took notice after coming off that loss to Michigan and all of the drama that happened in the pregame and postgame. People took notice of Michigan State today, especially when you look at a Purdue team that beat Ohio State the way it did the week prior to. It's amazing. Now, I want to ask this question because this is the question that a lot of Michigan State fans were posing to me on social media. Rocky Lombardi, I gave you his stats. You watched him one Saturday. 26 of 46. 318 yards. No turnovers. Two touchdowns. He was also able to carry the football 11 times. He put the ball on the ground 11 times. Ran for 22 yards. His longest run was 9. The offense, in my opinion, and I think many can agree with this, the offense seemed to really have a jolt of energy that we have not seen in a while. Rocky Lombardi did what he needed to do and completed the ball. And again, these weren't big dimes down the field, you know, long, deep passes. When he did try and throw the football deep, you know, it was overthrown. It wasn't as accurate as it could have been, even though Rocky Lombardi showed on Saturday that he has a big arm. He really does. I mean, heck, you know, the two passes that he had to Darryl Stewart, one, which I thought was a catch in the middle of the field, it wasn't a catch. Then he had one in the end zone as well, really nicely thrown ball, but Darryl Stewart's foot was just out of bounds. Rocky Lombardi showed some arm strength, and when he kind of settled down in the game, he showed some pretty good accuracy. So I asked this question. If Rocky Lombardi would have played against Michigan, would the outcome have been different for Michigan State? If Rocky Lombardi would have came in, I'll just say this, after the first half, after seeing that first half, Brian Lewerke, not great, not accurate whatsoever. And again, it came out later on after the game, after that 5-for-25 performance, that Brian Lewerke was injured. He was not 100% healthy. Brian Lewerke had a right shoulder injury. He did not practice Monday to Thursday of that week. Didn't really get any reps. Why did we see Rocky Lombardi? Why did we see him? Not until like the tail end of the game, like the last drive. And if he would have played, do you think the outcome would have been different? Because I caution you, in a way, to think about this Purdue defense and the fact that the Purdue defense isn't that good. The Michigan defense is very, very good. Michigan defense is one of the best defenses in the nation. Do you think the outcome would have been different? I will answer that question, and I want to hear from you guys. I know we do have Jason on line one. I want to get to Jason in a moment. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. What are your thoughts on Rocky Lombardi? Would the outcome have been different if he would have played against Michigan? And do we have a QB controversy here at Michigan State now? You know, is this the Michigan State version of what's happening out in Tampa Bay right now with Jameis Winston and Ryan Fitzmagic? What do you think? We'll take your calls. I'll read a few of your comments. Until then, let's hit our first break. And we also have some Lions still on the docket as the Lions fell to the Seattle Seahawks at home at Ford Field yesterday. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We are recapping what happened at Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon as Michigan State pulled out a dub over a surging Purdue Boilermakers team. Michigan State beats Purdue. Final score 23-13. And I asked a few questions concerning the quarterback situation now for Michigan State. Because, you know, immediately after Michigan State beat Purdue, Dane Warner, Michigan State offensive coordinator, he, along with the coaching staff of the Spartans, did admit that they second-guessed not starting Lombardi over the injured Brian Lewerke against Michigan. Immediately after the win over Purdue, Dave Warner took the podium and said, yeah, we second-guessed not starting Rocky over Brian against Michigan after seeing what Rocky was able to do on Saturday against Purdue. What are your thoughts? I want to hear from you first before I give my take on it. Again, I'm asking the question, would the outcome have changed if Michigan State did indeed bench Brian Lewerke, knowing that he had this shoulder injury, and look over to Rocky and say, yeah, we're going to start you instead? Would the outcome have changed? That's one question I have. And number two, do we have a QB controversy? What should happen moving forward right now? Is Brian Lewerke still the number one quarterback on this depth chart for the Spartans? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. The comments are rolling in. I'm going to get to a few of those in a moment. And you can even tweet me. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's get to our phone lines right now. Jason, who has been waiting oh so patiently. Jason is on line one, and you are on Current Sports. What's up, Jason?
Not much, brother. What's going on?
I'm good. Happy Monday, man.
Yeah, happy Monday to you. Hey, good looking elite Spartan jacket you got on there right now.
you like the Spartan hoodie I got on right now?
Well, I have the same one, so that's why I can say it's good looking.
Thank you, Jason. Well, you know what? I got this, actually, courtesy of MSU Athletics when I did MSU Madness last year. So shout out to MSU Athletics for the year.
I actually got mine a couple years ago when I took my stepdaughter out to a game, and Coach Izzo presented us with a few things, and I got mine that day.
So. There you go. So we hey, free gear. You can't knock that. See, and I also have to watch myself with us being on the Facebook live stream. I can't come in here looking like a bum. So
exactly. But so to answer your first question, would the outcome have been different if we started Rocky against the Varmints down there in Ann Arbor? I think it would have. Do I think we would have necessarily won the game? That I don't know. But I know the score would have been different, and Michigan would have lost in the spread still. So, but you know.
So you think that it would have been a closer game, not necessarily that – you know, saying that Michigan State would have won the game.
I think it would have been a lot closer game because, I mean, the way Rocky was passing anywhere from 5 to 15 yards on Saturday in the game, he was money on any of those passes.
Yeah.
Couple of them were dropped, whatnot, you know, a couple of them knocked away, no big deal. But, you know, a couple of his long passes, like the one to Stewart there.
Right.
Stewart had it in his tips. It was there, and they said it was down that he didn't have control because he didn't make a football move. Well, last I knew, we weren't in the NFL. It didn't say anything about having to make a football move, but whatever, it is what it is.
Well, and I tell you what, I think the football did move, and I think it did hit the ground. And at first, in real time, I thought it was a catch, and it was right. Great effort from Daryl Stewart. But that was considering the circumstance and where Daryl.
You got to remember, right after that, when play was over, he still laid there on the ground for a second.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he was hurt.
Literally, I think what happened is when he got that ball, you know, his hands probably slid down on it a little, and it jabbed right up under his pads into his diaphragm and stuff. I almost guarantee that's probably what happened. That's why he looked like he was all knocked out of wind and everything for a bit.
So, Jason, what should happen moving forward? Do we have a QB controversy here in East Lansing?
I don't think so. I don't think we do. I think Rocky's actually going to be the starter for the rest of the year. I really do. Just the way he performed, you know, he goes out there and throws for 318 yards, no interceptions. You know, I don't remember exactly what how many interceptions Brian had, you know, up until last week and whatnot. But I do think Rocky is he's bigger than Brian is. I don't think he's necessarily as great as a runner as Brian is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Rocky has the arm strength and that can complete those short 10, 15, 20-yard passes to keep us in the game and get us to even win the game. But, like, you know, the other thing with, you know, with the Michigan, would it have made a difference? It may have if Felton Davis wouldn't have got hurt.
Mm.
If Felton wouldn't have tore his Achilles, we might have been okay.
That's a good point, too.
The other point with that, okay, with him being down and also with us being in the week we were in, Cody should have been back this week and played, but Cody didn't make the field. Or I think he may have made it for a play or two, but ball was never thrown to him.
Well, no, Cody did not play. I mean, Cody, it was weird because we were up in the press box, and I was sitting next to, you know, fellow reporters, and one of them had a pair of binoculars, and they were looking down on the field, and Cody was dressed.
Cody was dressed. I saw him.
But he didn't play. I don't think he was still on the non-active list.
Right.
So I don't even know if he could have dressed. And as we were kind of debating that up in the press box, too, like we were saying, I don't think Cody White should even be dressed right now.
Right.
So, I mean, the man has a broken hand. And when you have a broken hand as a receiver, when your hands are your bread and butter, that's really tough. But I think that makes even Rocky's performance even more impressive, Jason, because,
again,
really the only star receiver he had out there to throw to was Darryl Stewart Jr., and he was great.
He had Stewart, and then a couple passes went to Naylor, and Naylor did very good.
Yeah, Naylor had some good catches as well.
I tell you what, Naylor on those jet sweeps, that was some of the most impressive running I have seen. When he was running to his right and realized it was all blocked up there toward the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
and he came back around to the left, and he was wide open. It was just him and Rocky trotting down the field.
Yeah.
That was one of the most beautiful plays I've ever seen.
All right, so moving forward, you think that Rocky is the guy now, huh?
I think Rocky's going to be our starter. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Okay. All right, Jason.
You know, I think he has more of that NFL, you know, prototype body and stuff where he can take the hits.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a couple times where he got hit and he pulled out of the hits like it was nothing.
Right,
kind of looked like that guy down in Detroit did yesterday when he evaded a couple of the Seahawks guys. But,
yeah, no, I hear you. All right. Well, thank you, Jason.
I definitely think we're going to be okay, and you know, I just can't wait to see what happens here the rest of the year for us.
All right, Jason, appreciate the call, my man. Always good hearing from you. You know, here's my thought on this whole situation when it comes to Rocky Lombardi and Brian Lewerke. First, should Rocky Lombardi have played and maybe even started against Michigan? Without a doubt, Rocky Lombardi, especially knowing the coaching staff, knowing that Brian Lewerke did not practice from Monday to Thursday of that week. Sore throwing shoulder for Brian Lewerke. And looking at how he finished 5 of 25. Started that game poorly, ended that game poorly. At some point, if you're Coach D'Antonio and that staff, you have to say, all right, enough is enough. This offense is not moving the football. It's very stagnant, three and outs left and right. That Michigan defense, which already is so good, and you couple that with now an injured starting quarterback, we got to try something different here. Why not go with Brian Lewerke? I mean, with Rocky Lombardi, excuse me, and bench Brian Lewerke. I think that Coach D looked at it and said, all right, this is a big game, big rivalry game. Brian, you know, he had such a great year last year. He's been our starter all year. You know, we saw him pull off a victory over Penn State. I want my starting quarterback in this game, and I want him to play through anything. But if you know that he was injured, why not give Rocky a shot? And I felt like when just listening to Dave Warner, I felt like Dave wanted to pull the trigger against Michigan. You know, with him saying after the Purdue win that, yeah, we second guessed immediately after the game, not starting Lombardi over Lewerke. I have gotten the feeling in these past 2 weeks that Dave Warner wanted Rocky Lombardi to play early against Michigan, and he was validated in what we saw from Rocky Lombardi against Purdue. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say, I kind of agree with Jason when it comes to this. I'm not going to sit here and say that if Rocky Lombardi was your starter, or at least played, you know, at least 3/4 of that game, or at least a half of that game against Michigan, that it would have had a different outcome and Michigan State would be the ones winning. I'm not going to go that far, but when you talk about 5 of 25 for Ryan Lewerke, at some point you got to say, all right, come on in, Rocky. Let's try something different here. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. That was insanity against Michigan. Rocky Lombardi should have played more than he did against the Wolverines. Ryan Lewerke couldn't even, you know, nail a 5-yard flat route. Couldn't hit receivers 6 yards in front of him. Bench him. He's not healthy. Rocky and Dave Warner made this be known as well. I mean, and you heard in that snippet to start the show, Dave Warner said that Rocky Lombardi, you know, he's a gym rat. You know, he loves watching film and he loves being prepared and he loves, and Daryl Stewart Jr. talked about how Rocky Lombardi, he came here. You know, he's a redshirt freshman. Since he's come in the door here on campus, he has been a leader for this team. Rocky Lombardi seems like a quarterback who is uber prepared at all times. And he was ready. He said he was ready against Michigan. The trigger just didn't get pulled. So, again, I'm not going to go as far as to say if Rocky would have played against Michigan, Michigan State would have won, but I think that offense would have put up better numbers. I will say that. And I think they would have been given a better shot to win if Rocky Lombardi did play. I will say that. Some people call that take crazy. I don't. I call it common sense. Injured starting quarterback, not playing well, bench him and go with your backup. At least give him a shot. I think that's very logical understanding. When it comes to what should happen moving forward, now there's an interesting question. Again, I'm not going to go crazy over this win for Michigan State as it pertains to Rocky Lombardi, just for the simple fact that Rocky Lombardi was playing against one of the worst pass defenses, not just in the Big Ten, but in the nation. It's not like he was going against a Michigan defense on Saturday. Even though that offense, again, he moved him down the field, 2 touchdowns, great game. But I'm not going to flip my wig over this performance over a Purdue Boilermakers team, against a Purdue Boilermakers defense that always gives up big yardage through the air. We'll see what happens this weekend. If Brian Lewerke, and I'm also a firm believer in this, I love the saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If Rocky Lombardi gave a spark to your offense against Purdue on Saturday, I would at least start Rocky Lombardi against Maryland, especially if Brian Lewerke, we don't know how he's progressing when it comes to that shoulder injury. You know, if there's still an inkling that Brian Lewerke is not 100%, you don't need to start Brian Lewerke against Maryland. Go with Rocky Lombardi. See what he can do against Maryland on the road at College Park. But it's a conversation to be had. You know, if Rocky continues to play well, he will be your guy. But I'm not going to totally rule out Brian Lewerke and dismiss the kind of player that Rocky Lombardi was last year. Even though he struggled this year, I still keep thinking about last year. You know, there's a part of me that says there's still a hope. I still have hope when it comes to Brian Lewerke. I don't know. Call me crazy in that regard, too. All right, let's hit our final break here. And when we come back, again, we'll continue to take your calls. If you want to call in, we got less than 10 minutes left here, so it's got to be a quick one. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Ray, I do see you. And I'll briefly touch on the Detroit Lions, and we'll have weekend winners to put a close to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Getting a lot of comments on our Facebook page. Ben says, you can't say that Purdue's defense was awful because it wasn't against Ohio State or in the other wins that they had, but they played bad defensively against us. Purdue is red hot, Al. Give them credit. Give credit where credit is due. And Ben, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, as fans, this is what fans do. They see a performance like Rocky Lombardi's coming in, backup quarterback, and they see what he was able to do in this one game, and you lose your mind. I'm just saying, I've been doing this for a long time, and fans, you have been watching this for a long time, to know that let's just temper everything here. Was it a great game for Rocky? Yes. It was a great game, considering the circumstances. You just come off a loss to your rival in Michigan, and you put on that kind of performance against a red-hot Purdue team. It's great, but can you duplicate it? Can you be consistent now moving forward? That's all I'm saying here. And then you throw in the fact that Purdue has been bad all season against the pass. I'm not going to lose my mind over this game. Great win for Rocky, but let's see what happens on Saturday. And yes, I would start Rocky Lombardi on Saturday, even if Brian Lewerke is healthy. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Rocky played well. Let's give him another shot. I think he's earned that this weekend. Line two, Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
I got a couple problems with your coach, okay?
Okay.
That Rocky guy, all the chances you had against Michigan, if they would have put him in the second half, you might not have beat him, but it would have been a lot closer. That Lewerke did not run or pass. You give up completely on the run. 29 out of 30 years, the team that runs the best wins the game. That's how Michigan won that game. They ran all over you guys. If you'd ever tried any outside routes with Scott in the second half, you got to get the ball to the perimeter on the outside, again, like Notre Dame did. That's how Notre Dame beat them. They beat them on the outside. They pinned their ends up so they could get around end. Why didn't you do any of that stuff?
You're asking over... You're asking the wrong guy, Ray, but if you've been listening, that's what I just said. I'm not saying that Michigan State would have won the game if they would have thrown in Rocky Lombardi after halftime, but they would have been given a better shot. I tell you that. Because you look at how Rocky played on Saturday. That offense really moved with Rocky Lombardi. And that's something we haven't been able to say with Brian Lewerke.
But you ran in pass. Why didn't you do that against Michigan the second half? It was all passing, and the guy couldn't throw the ball to my grandmother for 5 yards.
That's again, because Brian Lewerke had this right shoulder injury. It was the wrong move.
Right.
It was the wrong move to have him in the game, Ray.
Yep.
And again,
yep.
I think that was D'Antonio's call. I think it was D'Antonio's call there, because I think Dave Warner wanted to go with Lombardi.
Hey, get this. Purdue loses to Ohio, bombs Ohio State by 29. You guys got to play them next week. I think the Buckeyes are in big trouble. They almost lost to Indiana, Minnesota at home. They almost they got killed by Purdue, and you beat them by 10. I think you got a good shot of beating them this year.
I tell you what, I think the Big Ten this year is in trouble to not have possibly a team represented in the college football playoff, Ray. I really do believe that.
Well, the bully's the only one who can get in now.
I think there's a realistic scenario that, again, I mentioned this on last week's Current Sports, that if Alabama gets beat, they play LSU this weekend, and
right.
If they get beat by LSU or they get beat in the SEC championship game against like a Georgia or even Kentucky, how about Kentucky
Georgia
this year? If they do lose one of those games, you will have two SEC teams in along with Clemson and Notre Dame. The Big Ten will be left out for 2 years straight, Ray. I think it may happen.
Who's going to beat Michigan, though? The Buckeyes look terrible, and then they play Northwestern in the championship game. I don't see anybody beating the Bullies left.
Well, you know the big game against Ohio State, man. I don't know. I still think that's going to be close. That's not a shoe-in for the Wolverines.
Well, they play Penn State.
And they play Penn State.
Penn State has got a shot, but they're going to have to play a lot better
right
on both sides of the ball if they're going to go up there and beat them in the Big House.
Ray, thank you so much for your call, my man. Appreciate it.
All right, God bless you.
You got it, brother. All right, as we come up with just a minute left here now, man, we didn't get to talk about the Lions. Oh, darn it. I'm pretty sure there's probably a lot of people happy about that. And Alec Rio, we haven't heard from you all hour. You're holding it down behind the glass. Alec, just any brief thoughts as we have just a minute left? Any thoughts on what you've heard this whole hour?
Well, when it comes to the Lions, it made me so mad watching it because they had such a heap of momentum. And I'm not blaming it on one single player for why they lost the momentum, but when Amir Abdullah dropped that off the kickoff, that really, really just blew any kind of momentum that they had. Mm. And it just went downhill from there. They couldn't get anything going after that.
Right, right. All right, well, and we'll break down more tomorrow, the Lions, because I got some thoughts to make about the Lions. I think they're in a lot of trouble, if you ask me, when it comes to this November schedule, all right? But until then, we are on a 23-hour break. Happy Monday. We'll see you Tuesday. And as always, be easy, people.